Good morning. Welcome to the morning instructions. Today I'll be taking the instructions again from the Anapanasati Sutta, Buddha's Sutta on the mindfulness with breathing. And the focus today is the second foundation of mindfulness, which is mindfulness of feelings. Now, the word feeling in the Dharma is used in a rather specific way. The Pali word is vedana, and it means the feeling tone of everything that we experience. So in our life, there's contact through the sense doors. We see, hear, smell, taste, touch, feel, think. And with each of those experiences, with each of those contacts, there's a rather immediate and quick feeling tone of experience. And our feeling tone is either pleasant or unpleasant, or in between the two. Or sometimes we experience the feeling tone as rather neutral. Our feelings condition our responses, our reactions, and our actions in this life. So depending upon the feeling tone that we experience, the ordinary habit of mind, of course, is to like particular activities that give us pleasure, where we feel good. And then, of course, dependent upon that, we go in search of all that gives us pleasure. So, the pleasant feelings are tied up with liking and with liking, and that often leads to desire. The unpleasant ones are associated with aversion or disliking, and that leads to reactions of contraction, shutting down, or pushing away. And the neutral feelings usually lead to some kind of delusion, or confusion, or boredom, activities like that. So we have to understand ourselves and see how the feeling tone, our habitual pattern of the way that we experience the world, influences our desires and reactions and activities in this world. The world of feelings does not need to be problematic, but is for many, many people. And just to clarify, when we say feelings, in ordinary English, feelings and emotions are used interchangeably. But in the world of the Dharma, feeling has this very specific meaning, as I've explained, the feeling tone of experience. And we're going to come to it, and I'll teach you how to understand it in a little while. But emotion is constructed when, upon the feeling tone of our experience, we add the world of thought. So with our beliefs, our views, opinions, we construct our emotions, our anxieties, our fears, our terror, and so on. So this process needs to be understood. So there are, in this section of the sutta, again, four couplets. And the first is, I shall breathe in, experiencing joy. I shall breathe out, experiencing joy. Now in Israel, I have to say, this can sometimes be met with some resistance. Because people say, well, what about suffering? The Dharma teachings are actually about comprehending our suffering, not denying it, comprehending it, understanding it, and then seeing and understanding the path of liberation from suffering. And the cultivation of joy and these specific directions are extraordinary in terms of training the heart and mind to see and recognize that which is not bound up with suffering. Because very often our habitual pattern is the sense of I clings to the unpleasant, the painful, the anguish, the despair, the sorrow, the very painful and difficult things in life. And it may be that in a day, there's hundreds of moments where you feel joy, and there's actually the absence of any suffering whatsoever. And yet often these moments go unnoticed, because the heart and mind is not trained to incline towards the freedom. So what we're doing here in this section on feelings is we're starting to understand the process that goes on day in, day out, when we are just in the world. And we're also starting to see how we can experience the world of feelings unproblematically. The second of the couplets, I'll just go through them briefly, is I breathe in experiencing pleasure, or I breathe in experiencing happiness. I breathe out experiencing pleasure, or sometimes the Pali word is translated as happiness, that deep kind of contentedness. Now, again, in the Dharma world, pleasantness and pleasure has a bit of bad press. We can actually be really, really free with our sense of pleasure. There is a pleasure that's unproblematic. And as the Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree, in fact, he remembered as a child an experience that he'd had in the fields, watching people plough the fields, and he was under a rose apple tree. And he had a spontaneous experience of jhana, of deep serenity. And it was accompanied by wonderful, pleasant sensations through the body. And these experiences, of course, we can access in the world of meditation as well. And as he sat there, he remembered that and thought, oh, perhaps there is a pleasure that is unproblematic. Because, of course, he'd been practicing lots of austerities and lots of very severe renunciations. He hadn't been eating, for example. So the middle path includes the experience of pleasure, the experience of joy. That isn't a problem. And not only is it not a problem, it helps us wake up. Joy and ease are two of the awakening factors. And so it is actually important to learn to cultivate joy, to find in life what it is that brings us joy. And there are many different types of joy, from the sort of joy we experience when someone gives us a gift, right through to a profound sense of deep and wonderful and exquisite joy that we can feel. And of course there's the joy in another's success. Sometimes when we're listening to the inquiry and we see somebody sit here and make a breakthrough, or we can see on their face the shift of understanding, and joy can arise in our heart. This is mudita. This is selfless joy. So back to the sutta. So the first couplet's about joy, the second couplet's about pleasure and happiness, meaning a deep kind of contentedness that isn't bound up with pleasure-seeking as such. It isn't bound up with being indulgent about pleasure. But it's unproblematic pleasure, where the I can land in the feeling world, of course, without clinging. And that's the key. It's pleasure that we do not cling to. Because as you meditate more, you will notice that there's many, many fine and subtle and exquisite experiences that can arise in the body, even just for a moment or two. Or for some of you, will have the capacity to access these fine absorptions. Yet, no matter how fine those experiences are, no matter how blissful or wonderful, they are also impermanent. They also end. So, our sense of pleasure and joy is impermanent. Feelings, too, are not self. Feelings arise dependent upon the conditions. They're not who I am. Not me, not mine. So we need to have this relationship to our experience. When the I rests in the feeling world and clings, then of course we start to think about it, and then we add our mental formations and constructions, and we've gone from what was perhaps an unpleasant feeling to a catastrophic terror in about 2 seconds, with the world of thought added to our initial experience. The third couplet is, I shall breathe in, experiencing the mental formation. I shall breathe out, experiencing the mental formation. It took me a really long time to understand what this meant. That Vedana, feeling tone of experience, occurs not only with things in the physical world, but also in the world of thought. Every thought that arises will be pleasant, unpleasant, or in between. We'll have that kind of feeling tone response to it. And so we need to start to see our habitual ways of thinking and our habitual ways of experiencing the world, to see and know them for ourselves. And finally, the fourth of the couplets is, I shall breathe in, tranquilizing or calming the mental formation. I shall breathe out, tranquilizing the mental formation. So again, the breath is used to calm the mind, to calm the world of mental formations and constructions. So as we breathe in, we're just with the breath rather gently and tenderly in a very fine way. And then with the out breath, it's rather easy, I think, to get that sense of really letting go of any kind of tension that we're holding in the mind in relationship to our thoughts, ideas, views, and opinions. Now, I want to do what I did yesterday, because talking about this seems rather theoretical, but there's a really, really easy way to learn. And it's actually just to do it. So what I'd love you to do, please, if you would, is to take out the first couplet, which is, I breathe in experiencing joy. I breathe out experiencing joy. Now, if we're really still, we can feel there's an exquisiteness with each breath. So let's experiment and see. So if you would please just for 2 or 3 minutes, taking up this practice, I breathe in experiencing joy, I breathe out experiencing joy. Back to the room. Did anyone have any sensation or experience of joy? Yes? Can you describe to me what happened?
In my heart, like my chest, my heart just vibrant.
Yes.
But I hear things beautiful. Are they?
Yes. Beautiful. So just breathing in, the heart expanded, and then came what's very closely associated, of course, with joy is gratitude. Gratitude for just being here. And that's a beautiful quality of the heart. And it's precious, and it's a divine quality, really. this kind of joy. And the divinities, the Brahma Viharas in the Dharma world, are the expressions of the awakened heart-mind, but they're also to be cultivated in order to know liberation. So just breathing in. And for most of us, it's not so hard if we just start with that intention. Do anyone else experience joy? Yes?
First, I thought this is stupid. You can't just...
Yes, of course.
...joy to come.
Yes!
But then I thought, okay, maybe I give it a chance.
Oh, very good. I like the openness and the receptivity to the suggestion. Very good. Well done. Well seen. Yeah?
And it just came. I don't know. Just...
Well, what about that? You actually followed the Buddha's direction, and what happened? You felt joy.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Just sitting and breathing in, breathing out, and I thought, well, it's just this good feeling of being able to sit.
Yes.
Be here.
Yes.
And just sit.
Yes.
And breathe and do nothing else. It's just great.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And look, I always think if we're going to sit for a week, let's make it good. That's my view. Okay, anybody else? Yes?
I built joy and I find myself smiling, but I didn't, it's not because of any reason or any condition, it just
yes.
came up.
Okay, yes.
Just a feeling of something.
Yes.
From nowhere.
Yes. Yes. And this is another kind of joy. The joy that can just come upon us from nowhere. Just as it did with the Buddha sitting under the tree when he was a child. And if we think back on our childhood, many of us have had experiences where joy just comes upon us. Or we can be standing somewhere as a kid, as a child, and feel enormous connectedness and joy, and it just comes. And we don't really have to know where it comes from, but just to be with it and allow it to flow and be, and it comes through the body. Sometimes when we, in our meditation practice, when we first start developing some kind of focus or concentration, the joy is just felt with our little kind of tickling sensations in the body. And then as it develops more, we feel lots of tingling through the body. And then that progresses more and more until there can be sometimes the most extraordinary rushes of energy through the body. Better than absolutely any drug, I can tell you. And we can access deep and profound and wonderfully liberating states of mind. Say a little more about the joy that just naturally comes.
It's like a wind that comes from somewhere.
Yes. She said it's like a wind that comes from somewhere. Not dependent upon any conditions, actually. It's joy that's there is a kind of joy that
usually we create thoughts or conditions to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But this kind of happiness is not related to anything physical or material that happens around.
Okay, so it's a formless quality of the heart and mind. And as human beings, oh, I can feel it all through my body right now. As human beings, the formless qualities of love and truth and beauty and peace and this divine joy are so healing, and they're a breakthrough actually to the unconditioned, that which is not dependent on the conditions of this life. So our feelings arise dependent upon conditions, and yet we can also be with that which is unborn, not of the nature to come and go. And when we know that, when we have that taste, even for a second, this is our, you know, wonderful heart's response to the unconditioned, and, or to emptiness, we might say. And it's not a desolate or vacant, or it's quite the opposite. It's joyous and alive and full of love. And real. Yeah. And real. So, I wanted to do one more experiment. And it's to teach those in the room who perhaps don't understand Vedana what or how we can understand Vedana in connection with the thought world. So, if you would just sit, please, for a moment. And really what we're doing is this one. I shall breathe in, experiencing the mental formation. I shall breathe out, experiencing the mental formation. But I'm actually going to say a word, and I want you to listen inwardly to the Vedana, the feeling tone of what you experience connected to the word. Okay. What's a mental formation? It's a construct, a thought, an idea. You'll understand in a minute. Okay. Today's word, one of them, is cappuccino. So, what was the feeling response? Pleasant, unpleasant, or in between? Pleasant? A couple of pleasant?
Terrible.
Terrible because you're not having a coffee, or terrible because you don't like coffee?
I don't like it.
You don't like it? There you go.
You should say espresso.
Espresso, okay.
Ah, you see, smiling.
Ah! Okay, so you see, this is just a word, and around the room, there's feelings of unpleasantness. I don't like it. And there's feelings of liking. It could even be a desire for a wonderful coffee as well. You see, just a word has a feeling tone associated with it. Another one. So sitting, just listening. Mother. Mother. So anybody have a response? And then following the pleasant feeling tone, what?
A bit of smiling.
Yes.
I had a thought as well.
Yes, the thought was what?
The thought was it wasn't always pleasant, but now it's pleasant.
Okay. All right. So in a couple of seconds, we've gone from the pleasant feeling tone to a reflection on the past. Mind goes to the past. It wasn't always pleasant. And then there was the resolution of the unpleasantness. Anybody else? Yes?
I felt also pleasant, like rising of energy.
Yes.
And then I felt gratitude.
Yeah. Beautiful. So the rising of energy or the expression of love and gratitude. Anyone else?
Happy,
mm-hmm.
And then missing.
Yes.
And then sadness.
Yes.
All together.
Yes. Yes. So in just a few moments, we have the sadness of the loss of the mind as well. And then that really poignant kind of mix of happiness and sadness that can go together when we've lost somebody we love. Hmm. And then tears come. Yeah. So she is smiling and crying at the same time. So this is our feeling world. And you see how quickly we go from just one word and to the story of our life. Anyone else? Yes?
Very deep pain.
Yes. Yes. And for those of us who've had a difficult relationship with our mother, we can feel perhaps a deep wound. And so with just one word, we're already in the intensity of deep pain. Do you want to say a little more? What happened after the feeling of deep pain? It's still there.
Because it's not only mother, I'm mother too.
Ah. Yes.
And it's so complicated, I can't summarize it in one sentence.
Exactly. So this word mother is extraordinarily loaded. And it's the same with father. In fact, once I did this on a retreat and I said the word father. And a woman, she was so angry, she said, "How dare you say that on a retreat?" It brought up all of my... It brought up all of my feelings. My father has just died. And how could you say that? And of course, then she began to open to her great grief and loss and all of the feelings that she was keeping down and did not want to look at. I think she had the idea that coming to a retreat, she would just sit there happily and not address those very deep pains of the heart that we can experience. And our heart has the capacity to embrace our joy and our sorrow, our pleasure and our pain. And until we really do this, until we do this fully, we really don't know our total humanity, I don't think. When we really have the courage to look deeply at all that is painful and all that is joyful, and to see how we can be with that, with dignity, with love, with tenderness, until we can do that, we don't really know the depth of our humanity, which is precious and priceless and wonderful. So I would encourage you over the days to take up one of these practices and really explore the world of joy, the world of pleasure, and the world of experiencing and also of calming our mental formations. Thank you for listening. It's now walking meditation time, and many of you, there's interviews. All three teachers will be doing interviews throughout the day. So please, if you haven't checked already, check the lists on the notice boards. I'll be doing my interviews in room 11, just outside here. And Lila will be on the lawn, and Jonathan too. Thank you. Enjoy the day.